Mercy and peace be with you today. You're listening to the radio ministry of Living Hope Church. We are a gospel-centered church serving the Grand Junction area. Join us in person for our Sunday services at 10:30 a.m. each Sunday morning, located at 2840 B and a Half Road in Grand Junction. We also live stream our service, and you can join us at livinghopefree.church. Mark your calendars. Starting February 19th, every Saturday at 6:30, Living Hope Church will be serving a free community meal and watching an episode of The Chosen, a series on the ministry of Jesus and his disciples. These community events are a great way for us to connect more with each other, but also to introduce the gospel to friends, family, neighbors, and co-workers outside a Sunday service. Once again, that is starting February 19th on Saturdays at 6:30 for the meal, with the program to start about 7 p.m. We hope to see you there. If God has blessed you through this ministry, consider a gift to expand the reach of the gospel across Western Colorado. You may give online at livinghopefree.church or send a donation to Living Hope Church at 2840 B and a Half Road, Grand Junction, Colorado, 81503. With the continuing crisis in Ukraine, we would like to take a moment to give special prayer for those who are affected at this time. Our Heavenly Father, we know that you are the Master of all things, the King of kings and the Lord of lords. We look around and we see this world which is full of so much sin and suffering. And it breaks our heart to hear these stories of lives impacted, lives lost, families broken. But we have great hope and joy in you and your strength, your power in this world. Lord, we ask that you would bring healing to this land, to Ukraine and Russia and throughout Europe. That your people would rise up with strength, with love for one another, with mercy and with love and blessing even to their enemies. That this would be a time when the work of your people, the gospel message going forth, is seen to have great results in this world. We ask that you would protect and bring peace, that you would use these things for your glory as your people worship you even in the darkest of times. Though we walk through the valley of the shadow of death, we will fear no evil because you are with us. Be with us, Lord, we pray, and be with those in Ukraine. Give wisdom to the leaders of this world. Let them work in ways that bring peace here and across the globe. In Jesus' name, amen. We now continue with our Sunday morning message. Today we started Daylight Savings Time, that time of the year where we spring forward. In fact, if you're listening to this today, then you set your clock correctly. Either that, or you were looking for another show and you just happened to find this one, only now realizing that it's not the time you thought it was, and oh no, you better get going. Spring forward, it's, for many people, a set of words that they never want to hear. Losing an hour of sleep, and I'm not sure gaining an hour in the fall makes up for it. With spring comes all kinds of new activity. We have spring cleaning that we do. Take the old stuff that you stored all winter long and then only now have realized you'll never use again, put it out on your driveway and hope someone else comes and buys it. It's a great time of year, isn't it? You can go and find amazing deals, things that that maybe you would never buy at full price, but you can buy now that they're on sale from someone's house. I found things that way before. I once went to a garage sale, and it seemed every table had something that I especially liked. Something for our kitchen, for our garage, for the bedrooms, for every part of the house. We slowly just took all their stuff and piled it into our car, and then handed them a few dollars on the way out. It's a great way to buy things. You know, they say one man's trash is another man's treasure, and at a garage sale, I think both people walk away feeling like they got a good deal. Someone paid you for your trash, and if you are buying, you get a good deal on something that perhaps you would never buy new. Of course, when you buy something used, then you have to explain it. Oh, is this a new bookshelf? Well, no, it isn't. It's an old bookshelf, but it is a new bookshelf to me. That's how I've gotten all my cars. Oh, you got a new car? Well, yes, in a sense, but on the other hand, it's a few model years out of date. It's new in that it's still working and running now for me, but it's not new in the sense of all the latest features. Sometimes those greatest treasures we have are things that are old and new. Maybe something that was passed down to you by a grandpa or grandmother, something that you remember from growing up and will stick with you for the rest of your life now. It's old, and yet it's new. It has now taken its place in your home. It's making its mark on you today, and yet it didn't start with you. Those legacies that are passed down. As we study 1 John, we come in this book to chapter 2, and as we continue John's presentation of his main argument to this church that was struggling with people coming and presenting false teaching that John is speaking against, he is coming again to those main points which we've already brought up for 1 John, the importance of knowing Jesus and the truth about Jesus, obeying him, and loving one another, and today we see those three brought together. We're reading in 1 John chapter 2, starting in verse 3. And by this we know that we have come to know him. We're talking about Jesus. We have come to know him if we keep his commandments. Whoever says, I know him, but does not keep his commandments, is a liar, and the truth is not in him. But whoever keeps his word, in him truly the love of God is perfected. By this we may know that we are in him. Whoever says he abides in him ought to walk in the same way in which he walked. Beloved, I am writing you no new commandment, but an old commandment that you had from the beginning. The old commandment is the word that you have heard. At the same time, it is a new commandment that I am writing to you, which is true in him and in you because the darkness is passing away and the true light is already shining. Whoever says he is in the light and hates his brother is still in darkness. Whoever loves his brother abides in the light, and in him there is no cause for stumbling. But whoever hates his brother is in the darkness and walks in the darkness, and does not know where he is going, because the darkness has blinded his eyes. This is the word of God. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you that you have gifted us your word. Help us to know Jesus in the way in which he walked, to love you and to obey you, and out of that to love one another. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. John starts the section saying, by this we know that we have come to know him. By this we know that we have come to know him. Knowing God is a central theme, not just to know about God, but to know him. To know not just about Jesus, but to be able to say that we know Jesus ourselves. We speak of knowing people in both ways. If you ask me, do you know Tom Cruise? I might say, well, yes, I've seen a bunch of those movies. But if you were to follow it up with, well, next time you see him, can you tell him hi for me? I said, well, I'm sorry, I don't know Tom Cruise. I just know of him. I know about him. I know a series of facts. But I don't know the man. I haven't had lunch with him. When you know somebody, when they are your friend, someone that you can say, yes, I know him and he knows me, that includes the idea that you know about them. And in fact, John presupposes that the people he is writing this letter to know about Jesus. Not only do they know about him, but they do want to know him. They want to know God. John does not lay out what Jesus has done. He does not present that gospel message. In fact, he wrote another book that presented all that information, the life and work of Jesus Christ. But here he assumes that the people do know Jesus and they know what he did. In verse 6, it says, whoever says he abides in him ought to walk in the same way in which he walked. Later on, it points to the teaching of Jesus. This letter is written to people who know many things about Jesus. That they know what he said and what he did. Being familiar with the life of Jesus and even familiar with his teachings, though, is not enough. That to know Jesus, to really know him in a personal way, goes beyond that. If you've ever had a loved one respond to something you've done by saying, you don't even know me, in that moment you've gotten something wrong that, in at least their mind, they considered core to knowing them, to who they were. If you planned a surprise party full of fireworks for a veteran suffering from PTSD, they might respond, you don't even know me. Why would you ever think I wanted this? Knowing someone goes beyond knowing a series of facts, but it is about building that relationship. For us, being in a relationship with Jesus, knowing him, is wrapped up not just in hearing his words or his teaching, not just in knowing some facts about his life, but John says knowing Jesus is related directly to obeying Jesus. By this we know that we have come to know him, if we keep his commandments. This linking of knowing and obeying. Knowing Jesus and obeying Jesus. This seems to be a division point that had occurred in this church. It is likely that in verse 4, John is actually quoting those false teachers who had gone out from the church. People who proclaimed, I know him, I know Jesus, but at the same time said that they would not keep, or by their actions showed that they would not keep God's commandments. Whoever says, I know him, in verse 4, but does not keep his commandments is a liar, and the truth is not in him. These are harsh words. Whoever keeps his word, in him truly the love of God is perfected. Three thoughts stand out here. Whoever says, I know him, but does not keep his commandments is a liar. Here, keeping the commandments is not the condition for knowing God, but the result of knowing him. If we think that keeping the commandments is a precondition for being able to know God, we are preaching not a gospel, but a message of works. If you make yourself good enough, you can know God. However, we say that as you know God, then you keep his commandments. You will obey Jesus if you know him. Second, this passage speaks of the love of God being perfected in us. Whoever keeps his word, in him truly the love of God is perfected. Here, this speaks not of a perfection that removes from us any reason to continue to work, but instead, love which is fulfilling its true purpose. The love of God is perfected in us. It reaches its true aim when we keep God's word. Loving God is wrapped up in obeying him. That if you love God, if you know God, if you've heard his commandments, then you will want to keep them. And then third, as this passage continues, by this we may know that we are in him. Whoever says he abides in him ought to walk in the same way in which he walked, in which Jesus walked. Third, these are meant as encouragement to those in the church who love God and who walk in the ways that Jesus walked. We can have confidence that we know God. Verse 3 says, by this we know that we have come to know him. This is meant to stir up confidence among the people at the same time as it casts doubt on those who would live some other way. Those false teachers who would claim to know God but disavow his commandments and obedience to them, they are liars and the truth is not in them. But for us, as God's love is perfected in us, we may know that we are in him. We can say we abide in him, but also we would walk in the way in which Jesus walked. Well, this is a stark contrast. Those who are ignoring and walking away from the commands of God versus those who would obey. John is not yet finished. Here we continue on, looking at the teaching of Jesus, pulling out one command in particular, stirring us up to a renewed obedience to that. John says, I am writing you no new commandment, but an old commandment that you had from the beginning. The old commandment is the word that you have heard, and at the same time, it is a new commandment that I am writing to you, which is true in him and in you, because the darkness is passing away and the true light is already shining. Here, John is pointing to that famous new commandment that Jesus gave. Love one another. The words of Jesus were a new commandment as Jesus gave them, the way he described it, that new commandment. And yet, John was not bringing to this church a new commandment for them. It was not something that they had never heard before or that was a sudden change to combat the ways of the world around them or these false teachers. He was reminding them of what was at the core and the beginning of Jesus' commands. That Jesus gave that new command, which was to love one another. And John is now bringing it back to the front for them. For them, the old command that they've had from the beginning of this faith, from the time of Jesus, this command, and he calls it out as it is that new command, and especially it is new in that it is continuing to work in them. It is being made new within them. The darkness is passing away, and the true light is already shining. This command is true in him, in Jesus, and in you. Love one another. John doesn't need to quote the command in this passage. He knows that his readers know the words of Jesus. He knows that they would remember the new command that Jesus gave. They've been paying attention. They know the words of Jesus. They know who he was, that they are happy to hear from somebody who, as he said at the beginning of this letter, saw with his eyes and looked upon and touched with his hands. John, who walked with Jesus, knew that this information had been passed on to this church. But the trouble was, in the moment when conflict came, when things got difficult, it was an easy to forget command. This other work of obeying the commands of God, of walking in the way that Jesus walked, it would be easy to interpret those only in the sense of obeying God's law, of avoiding sinful actions. That if you were only concerned with making sure you don't murder, you don't commit adultery, you don't steal, you could avoid an awful lot of things and be happy in that sense. But Jesus gave another commandment, a new commandment, one that they've had from the beginning of their faith, one that should be active in all who believe, that we are called to love one another. John says it this way: whoever says he is in the light and hates his brother is still in darkness. Whoever loves his brother abides in the light, and in him there is no cause for stumbling. But whoever hates his brother is in the darkness and walks in the darkness and does not know where he is going, because the darkness has blinded his eyes. John only gives two options here. We usually give ourselves at least one more category. We don't just split people up into those we love and those we hate. We put a third category, those we don't even think about or don't care about or try to avoid. Those people we are polite to, but no more. Here, John is focusing on the church, and he only gives two options. Either you love your brother or you hate them. John is writing to a community of believers who would know each other, see each other on a regular basis. They would gather together and they would have opportunity to love one another. For those who avoided that, who did not embrace the love of the brothers in the church, that was equivalent to hating the brother. There's no room in John's letter for those who would come to church and think it's enough to merely give a little wave and say, that's about all I can do for you this week. That we must love one another. His reasoning is quite clear. Loving one another is so important because whoever loves his brother, in verse 10, whoever loves his brother abides in the light, and in him there is no cause for stumbling. Whoever hates his brother is in the darkness and walks in darkness and does not know where he is going, because the darkness has blinded his eyes. This is so clear if you look at the life of Jesus. Jesus, who lived his life as a pouring out of love. There are so many stories in the Gospels of Jesus withdrawing, going away, and then crowds follow. And Jesus doesn't respond with anger, hey, this is my day off. But no, he comes and he cares and he heals and he loves. That if you are to walk the way that Jesus walked, you will have love for one another. Love that expresses itself in specific and tangible ways. As John goes through this letter, he brings more specific ways that we can love one another, that we can care for one another. But it starts with following that path of Jesus. Greater love has no man than this, that he lays down his life for a friend. Jesus Christ, God in human flesh, came and lived as a man. Being truly human and more truly human than anyone else who has ever lived. Living out the purpose of a man free from sin. That he lived his entire life giving glory to God and never straying from that path, walking only in the light. Lifting people up with his teaching, with his healing, with God's love poured out through him. And coming to the end of his life, gathering around his disciples, reminding them of what he had said and done. And coming to what we call the Last Supper, what we celebrate as communion, pointing out the significance of his body and his blood even before the crucifixion. And then Jesus went to that cross, not taken there against his will by an overpowering army. But Jesus came and he laid down his life, putting his blood where our blood should be, paying that penalty of sin, though he was without sin, that he showed that love to us. If we know him, if we abide in him, we must walk in the way that Jesus has called us to walk. Come out of the darkness and into the light. Love your brother. Gather with those who call on the name of the Lord. Get to know each other and to love one another, to celebrate and to encourage one another. Follow the example of Jesus. Walk in the way in which he walked. Have this confidence in yourself, that you know Jesus as you keep his commandments. Amen and amen. Let us pray. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you for your blessings upon us, and we ask that you would stir us up to know and love you more, that we would obey your commandments, and as we have your love perfected in us, we would love one another. In the name of Jesus we pray. Amen.
You've been listening to the radio ministry of Living Hope Church. Join us again next week for another message from God's Word. If you'd like to join us in person, you can do so at 10:30 each Sunday morning at 2840 B&A Half Road. Or you can watch our services live, online, at livinghopefree.church. Our messages are streamed live each Sunday morning.
Join us this Saturday at 6:30 for a community meal and to watch an episode of The Chosen. This series tells the story of Jesus and his disciples and is a great way to reconnect with the gospel account as we prepare for Easter. You don't need to be a member or a regular Sunday attender to join us. And in fact, if you are a regular radio listener and have not been able to come on a Sunday morning, I would love to meet you. The series is appropriate for all ages, and it is done in a way that is engaging for all, from elementary school and into retirement. Once again, that'll be a community meal and an episode of The Chosen at 6:30 this Saturday and each Saturday after that at Living Hope Church, 2840 B&A Half Road. We hope to see you there.
If you have been encouraged by the message today and would like to support our ministry, you can send a check to Living Hope Church at 2840 B&A Half Road, Grand Junction, Colorado, 81503. Or you can give online at livinghopefree.church. Now thank you for listening, and may you have grace and peace from Jesus Christ, our Lord.